You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal. But everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing. I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network on Thursdays at 5 o'clock. I get a little smarter, and I hope all of you appreciate my fine guests in this segment from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Today, we've got Joe Radosevich. He is the Vice President for Campaigns and Outreach. We're going to review Trump's first 100 days, which can be summarized by Donald Trump's terror of error, corruption incorporated. What's that you say? You wanted your 401k to be okay? Maybe not. Just pick your catastrophe metaphor. That's what we've got. Joe, I have to start by asking you about the insane news of today. It used to be that news cycles slowed down towards the end of the week.
Yeah.
Right? Not anymore. Old rules are all gone. Mike Walls out as National Security Advisor. Mark Wayne Mullen suggesting moments ago that he wasn't actually fired, but that he decided to leave his role as National Security Advisor to spend more time with his, quote, new family, despite the fact that he's now going to be ambassador to the United Nations pending Senate confirmation, which should be rich because he'll be under oath. You got Secretary of State Marco Rubio now also taking over the role of the National Security Advisor, a dual role not had since Henry Kissinger. The same Trump-appointed judge ruling twice today against the administration, most notably declaring that the Alien Enemies Act cannot actually be invoked in times that aren't war and when we're not actually being invaded, giving full meaning to the words in English that are in the Alien Enemies Act. Joe, what do you make of today's news? How bad is this?
There's so much to parse through, and I think they would love if we spent all the time doing that rather than, you know, all the ways that they're hurting people across the country and in Milwaukee. But, you know, I think some of the things that really strike me is, you know, the guy who was including reporters on a Signal chat, you know, leaking military secrets, I'm sure he's going to have a lot of trust from other ambassadors at the UN. I'm sure people are really going to want to talk to him.
That is, thank you for pointing that out, because there's so much incompetency, there's so much mediocrity failing up over and over and over again, that is so important, because whether you're talking about Steve Witkoff effectively doing the job of the Secretary of State because Marco Rubio has to be tethered to the Oval Office, no one trusts.
How many things has Rubio picked up, too? He's running USAID here. He's running this. He's
the archives. He's the national archivist, USAID, Secretary of State, and
all
this.
All the things they don't care about.
Correct. They're like, little Marco, here you go. Here's another thing to add to your brief. But this, I've made this point, and I've asked various national security experts about this, and any economist, same thing. How does anyone negotiate with incompetent, lying fools? Like, the word of these people means nothing, does it?
No, because he wants it all to go to him, Trump, right? The power in one person. And they're not serious people. I mean, they're serious about some of the damage they're doing. They're serious about the corruption. They're serious about milking us for as much as we've got. But actually protecting our national security, keeping us safe, protecting our economy, a strong country, that doesn't matter to them.
What do you make of, I'll use the wrestling term, like the kayfabe, the performativeness of all of this? Because before you came on the air, Joe, we were talking about this idea that, today these two really big stories were happening basically in tandem. One story is driven entirely by the corrupter in chief, the great orange man, right? He just decides like, oh, Mike Wells is out. I'm going to make this announcement on Truth Social. While these extraordinarily devastating rulings are being issued and then made public and talked about from a Trump appointed judge in the Southern District of
Texas.
Right. So is this literally the performative politics of a constant distraction cycle? And how do you, Joe, talk to people that are listening to us right now? What's your advice to them about which ball to keep their eye on?
Yeah. And I think that's super important. I think we have seen from Trump throughout his career, certainly as president, when there's a cycle, a news cycle, something he doesn't like, changes the subject, does something outrageous. And not only do we have these pretty damning rulings, right, making clear that what they are trying to do with, breaking the law, using fake emergencies to deport people, we heard at the beginning of this week, children who are U.S. citizens, one of whom has cancer, right, kidnapping them, sending them out of the country. When they get bad news, the economy tanking, right, the first time that our economy has contracted in 3 years, they try to change the subject. And so in terms of talking to people about keeping your eye on the ball, I don't think the eye on the ball here is like, oh, our GDP went down under Trump. It's true. And now, 59% of Americans, do not approve of how Trump is handling the economy. But the thing to keep our eye on the ball is the harm they've already caused. So 300,000 pounds of food that was destined for Milwaukee.
Rotting. Yeah.
Rotting. Exactly. It's not like we didn't buy it. Now it's going to go somewhere else. Just going away because of the cuts that they've made to food assistance programs. And I think that, for folks listening here, you're talking to people, we're in persuasion mode. We are in get more people under the big tent.
Yes.
It's fun here also. We don't lie. But keeping our eye on the ways they are causing harm already, especially when they connect to something that they're about to do. So that 300,000 pounds of food that's destined for Milwaukee for people who are struggling to eat, for people who are poor, that hasn't come in, might that have something to do with the fact that they're trying to gut SNAP and food assistance and Meals on Wheels in this next budget? I think it does. That's the stuff they're trying to hide.
Folks, we're with Joe Radazovich of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. This is, to the extent that I fail at this job on a day-over-day basis, Joe, it's because my head is so filled with all of this stuff and I see the matrix, if you will, right? Like I'm always seeing the connections, even today, right? Talking about Marco Rubio after we have our tete-a-tete here for the last half of this hour, I'm going to talk about the fact that Steve Witkoff's kid was today on a stage in Dubai announcing another Donald Trump family $1 billion-plus grift that we have never seen the likes of before. It's the cronyism, right? The interrelationships between all this stuff. And we've spent some time today talking about the fact that not a single MAGA member of the House of Representatives over the last 2 days and any of the budget reconciliation markup committee meetings said a word. They just voted down every Democratic amendment without speaking. Because they're terrified of their own voters, because there is real pain happening. More people are hungry, hurting, sick, getting sicker, losing health insurance coverage, paying more while their paychecks are less and less or their jobs are eliminated.
Yeah. We have to rely on, Americans who happen to be represented by Republicans, right, in Congress, which should not matter. Your job is to represent your constituents, but, they can't meet with them, right? They won't hold town halls.
Correct.
They don't get back to people. And so we've seen now, last night, Representative Anna Presley of Massachusetts, she read a letter from a mother, child is disabled, relies on Medicaid, and they were having that markup you were talking about. Republicans didn't want to talk about it. And she was like, you won't talk to your own constituents, so I'm going to read one of the letters from your constituents because they're sending them to me instead. And the member that, happened to be from a member in Michigan's district got all upset and, oh, this is decorum and this and that. It's like,
decorum?
You're being the largest cut to Medicaid in history And you're lying about it.
Every day, lying every day about it, right?
Yes. Yes. So, no, I think that that's the, it is too much work for one person. And you are taking it on with this show to try to cover what they are doing on every day, because they put so much distraction out to hide, one, the corruption, and two, the harm. They're getting rich, and they are hurting people. Their level of cruelty they're willing to put in place to do it, it's so high.
Terror by error, cruelty by corruption. Like, pick your alliterative phrase here. One of the things that I see happening more and more, and it's happening here in the state of Wisconsin, and I wonder your thoughts about this from a grassroots perspective, Joe, is that, for example, in the 8th Congressional District here in Wisconsin, Dr. Kristen Lierley ran and lost to Tony Weed, a newbie to the political scene. To my understanding, he is yet to hold a town hall. Dr. Lierley is holding town halls. Other people are showing up. And the phenomena that you just described, where people in red districts are reaching out, not to their MAGA elected official because they won't hear back, not to the Ron Johnsons of the world, not to the Derek Van Ortons, the Tom Tiffany's, the Weeds, et cetera, et cetera. They're reaching out to Democrats because Democrats will actually try to do something to help people. How does this play from now until the midterms? Like, where should Democrats keep doing what they're doing? Do they need to change course, or is this kind of the wait and see?
Yeah, I mean, I think we got to put our foot on the accelerator a little bit. And that's going to take everybody. That's not just, you know, elected officials. Like, this is we rely on each other for all of these pieces. Activists, people who aren't engaged in politics all the time. So we need to do more. But what they're doing with reconciliation, which is this budget process, and, like, people listening, you don't need to get in the weeds. You can if you want. You can follow
along.
It's
the budget. Yeah.
It's great. But it's the budget.
Yeah.
And it's the way that they're carrying out their scam. It's the way that they're going to make the largest cut to Medicaid in history. It's the way that they're going to end food assistance for tons of people in order to pay for tax cuts for the very wealthy. It's their big corruption play. And their own voters hate it. That's the thing to really, I think, engage on it from a grassroots perspective. I do think walking into 2026, there is no reason that we are not going to have a huge majority. There's no excuse for it otherwise. Not just because, democracy is on the line. But the best way to save democracy is actually to show the power that people have. And that's in this reconciliation process. It's to defeat this bill.
I totally agree, Joe. And the argument I made just before you came on was this. MAGA elected officials in Congress are not afraid of Donald Trump. They're afraid of you, every person listening. They're afraid of their own voters. They're afraid of telling the truth. They're afraid of actual accountability. Make the math math. Quit talking in riddles and rhymes and proverbs. Tell us exactly what you're doing if you're so damn proud of it. We're going to continue in just a few moments with Joe Radazovich. He's with the Center for American Progress Action Fund. I want us to start thinking about these questions. When we look both backwards and forwards, what do you, Joe, and what do you, the listener, think will be the thing that moves the needle the most for those swing voters, for regular people? Are people going to have to feel the pain specifically in order to get motivated? Because I think many of us who've been paying attention, we're in the streets, we're doing the thing. But for those who have been on the sidelines or cynical to it all, what moves the needle now? I've got Joe Radazovich from the Center for American Progress Action Fund, their VP for Campaigns and Outreach. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. What motivates you? We discuss next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Take it to the streets and the voting booths and the state houses and the U.S. Capitol. Peacefully, I might add, peacefully, damn it. Welcome back to the show. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined by Joe Radosevich. He is the VP for Campaigns and Outreach with the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're reviewing both news of the day and the bigger picture after we have clocked in Donald Trump's 100th day. The reign of terror by error, the dereliction of duty by diaper don continues. Joe, how do we get folks that aren't inclined to be engaged engaged? Do we have to wait for the pain to actually hit them? This is, I've asked almost every Politico that I have on the show a version of the same question, right? Because it's the 78 million voter question, or perhaps I should say the majority of millions of voters that didn't vote in the cycle, right? In the last presidential cycle, that's what it's about. And maybe put a little differently, is there a breakthrough moment, or is this a cumulative movement?
Well, I'll say, first of all, news of the day, you know, May Day.
May Day.
We had the largest today set of May Day protests, I think, in the history of the country.
Yes.
But over 1,000 all over the country, big ones in Milwaukee, too. So there is engagement. And I think part of what's happened, especially over the last few weeks, is the pressure, the idea that Trump was sort of just everywhere and so powerful, like the emperor has no clothes. We are seeing that.
He's not popular. He
doesn't know what he's doing. His own judges are ruling against him. So like, there's something empowering about that. Poll numbers don't matter, but they matter if they help more people speak out.
Yes.
And so big picture, just, he's not popular. You're not alone. And I think something like the May Day protest helps people see that they're not alone. But you know, your question, is there a breakthrough moment? How do you engage people who don't love politics? Look, I'm from Minnesota.
Hi, neighbor.
I think organizing, hi, neighbor. Yeah, I'm sorry for once our playoff sports team's doing a little better right now, but it's not typically the case. no, but organizing really starts with, you know, you have to reach out and find out what people really care about first. You can't approach them with like, well, I think this thing is really important first. And that means asking some questions. It means not coming in with all the answers. And I think as a kind of movement, not just a party, the left, we like having the answers. Mm. We like sitting at the front of the classroom. We like looking at the data. And it's important, because if you don't have people who know what they're doing, you know, you start a random trade war for no reason and your economy contracts and, you know, people get hurt. So it does matter. Facts matter. Math matters. But you also have to start with where people really are. So we need a little bit more emphasis on just organizing and listening to people. And I think when we do that, there are going to be some things that pop up, like housing. Housing costs in Milwaukee, they've gone up, I think, over 50% in just the last like 4 years, median sales prices.
As well as, Joe, if I can, from the Wall Street Journal, very conservative, Rupert Murdoch owned, right? And I will say, I saw a headline today, Joe, to this exact point, that Milwaukee's rental market is one of the most cutthroat in the United States. There just simply is not enough affordable housing stock, or even livable housing stock, especially if you've got a kid or two.
Yeah. Well, and I think that there are going to be things like that that pop up, that folks who are not necessarily super political, they are annoyed that they can't find a starter home, maybe, if they're a young couple, and like, maybe they have a kid in an apartment that's getting too small, or they're older folks and their kids are still living with them. I mean, that's like just a real issue for people that's not about ideology.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you start with some organizing and listening, things like that are going to pop up. So that's really important for people who are less political. For people who are more engaged, there will be, I think, a red line. It will be more of a big moment. I think there will be some clarity around him crossing. And I think we are about there. There is a, right?
Mm-hmm.
The numbers for him have tanked. He's trying to change the subject. They're trying to push forward this crazy rush through this crazy bill
yes.
to make the largest cut in the history of Medicaid, right? I think for the people who are engaged in politics, that moment is coming very, very soon.
Well, the pain, the economic pain towards the end of May, and I'll say this, small business owners, I have always been pro-small business, pro-entrepreneurship, and, yeah. and those are the business owners who cannot pay to play. They do not have access. They don't have the largesse. Their businesses aren't big enough to cut million-dollar checks to inaugural committees and get regulators off their back and pay effectively to have tariff exemptions. The tariffs are going to kill tens of thousands of small businesses who, by the way—
It was progressives who led the charge against the tariffs 100 years ago. I mean, because of what it was doing to farmers and small businesses, especially.
Especially in places like the state of Wisconsin. I believe the statistic is 58 million people in this country are employed by businesses with fewer than 45 employees. They are going to be the ones paying the price. It's less gross domestic product and more what does your paycheck get you in terms of products, and that's where the pain is going to be. My biggest thanks to Joe Radosevich here on the Civic Media Radio Network from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Joe, you want to talk about the day's news? You just give me a call. We can riff on it. Good fun. Folks, when we come back, I am going to share with you the next billions worth of corruption announced proudly on a stage today in Dubai by Eric Trump. And the acting, air quotes here, Secretary of State Steve Witkoff's son. The corruption is real. It is loud and proud. Have you had enough yet? We discuss next. Join me, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Keep it locked. Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are in our last half hour of the day. You want to join us? 855-752-4842. I'm excited because my new bestie on the radio, Joe Radosevich of the Center for American Progress Action Fund, is sticking around. He wants to hear about this new flavor of Trump corruption just as much as you want. Right. Got to hook Joe up with the deets, just like I'm going to hook all of you up with the deets as well. And I think we're going to try a new segment. Joe and I are going to work this out with my senior producer, Jamie's help. But we have the Trump corruption counter. Joe will come in once a month and we'll keep a running tally of the grift because the grift is real. Here is the news. As reported today by the New York Times, sitting in front of a packed auditorium in Dubai, a founder of the Trump family cryptocurrency, this being Eric Trump, come on, Dad, I love you, Eric Trump, made a brief but monumental announcement on Thursday. A fund backed by Abu Dhabi, meaning the United Arab Emirates Sovereign Wealth Fund, a fund backed by Abu Dhabi, Eric Trump said, would be making a $2 billion business deal using the Trump firm's digital coins. Now, quick fact check. You've heard me rail about the Melania and Donald Trump meme coins, which are basically nothing. They're not even real crypto. It's basically like, oh, I like Donald Trump, so I'll buy this stupid meme coin and he can pocket the money that I just gave him and maybe I'll be one of the biggest investors in it and get one of these private dinners with the president. It's literally pay to play. I'm not talking about the meme coins, everybody. I'm talking about something else. The graft is that big. They got to do it multiple ways all the time. Let me continue. The New York Times says this, that transaction would be a major contribution by a foreign government to President Trump's private venture, one that stands to generate hundreds of millions of dollars for the Trump family. Zach Witkoff. Remember I was talking about how does all of this relate to the news of the day? Yes, Steve Witkoff, who's the one that's actually flying around trying to negotiate with foreign powers, adversaries, as well as allies, because Marco Rubio is now tethered forever to the Oval Office, trying to keep our diaper Don in line. Steve Witkoff's the one that's actually doing all the negotiating. We've heard and talked about him with reference to Ukraine. Yeah, it's Steve Witkoff's kid. So Zach Witkoff, Steve Witkoff's kid, is also a partner and founder in this business. This firm is called World Liberty Financial. I am going to put the website, the link to World Liberty Financial, in today's show notes. You can find those at civicmedia.us. Go check it out, also on Apple Pods and Spotify. This is what's called a stablecoin. I had never even heard of this before. It's called a stablecoin that was developed by World Liberty Financial, and it's basically a financing instrument, a made-up crypto financing instrument, so that when you do deals, you don't have to actually do them through banks. Okay? So in this newly announced $2 billion deal that will earn the Trumps hundreds of millions, it is this United Arab Emirates-backed investment firm, MGX, and Binance, another crypto firm, that are doing this huge deal. You don't have to know who any of these entities are. Zero. Because I can't follow the bouncing ball or the dollars, and nobody really can. What you need to know is that this is like a made-up thing, and it exists in a worldwide global regulatory black hole. And by doing this deal, UAE is basically writing checks for hundreds of millions of dollars to Donald Trump. Now, do you think in the exercise of his expansive, you know, I am the king, I can commit no crimes, advancement of foreign policy, you think he might preference the United Arab Emirates, who are now cutting checks for hundreds of millions of dollars to his family? I'm going to get Joe's reaction, and then I'm going to read y'all some of the fine print from the website, because it is chef's kiss rich. Joe, it is too much. Sitting on the stage, it's Steve Witkoff's kid, Eric Trump, and they're like, hey, we're all getting rich. Come on in.
Well, if they're willing to let, you know, Big Pharma buy them off to, you know, end negotiation of on prescription drugs, if they're willing to let oil companies buy them off to, you know, kill the clean energy industry, I think they're probably willing to let some foreign government buy them off to do something that's not in our interest too. Right?
It's basic, right? It's all pay to play. If it's all
for sale, where does it stop? And I do remember, I mean, I think it was about a month ago, but, you know, they paused, they stopped. There's a, you know, it's actually against the law, a lot of this stuff, but who knows? We have to figure it out. A lot of it's hard to track, but there was a Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. You know,
basically, completely gutted the enforcement arm for the FCPA, the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, within the Department of Justice, like that sub department. They basically reassigned all the personnel and like zeroed out the budget line item.
Yeah, they said they would restrict that. They weren't going to bring criminal charges there. They weren't going to investigate it. So, you know, I guess it's fine. They did that first, and then they invited all the corrupt foreign money.
Well, you shut down the CFPB. You announced that the SEC cannot and is not going to regulate cryptocurrencies, including stablecoin currencies like the grift announced in Dubai at one of the most gold-gilded world's most luxurious hotels. And all of this is illegal. Article 1, Section 9, Clause 8 of the U.S. Constitution says that federal officials cannot receive gifts, titles, or other benefits from foreign governments. Someone explain to me how, what is it called? The World Liberty Financial isn't itself, the very existence of this thing, as well as the meme coins, aren't a violation of that. I just don't get it.
Yeah. Well, where it gets concerning is because some of this is behind, right? We'll never know fully. How are we being harmed? How are sort of Americans' national security interests or our economic interests? One of the things he's trading away, because he does it at home all the time. Right. He's willing to make people pay more for drugs in order for him to get money from farmers. So what are we giving up?
Well, and that's there. All of these things are happening in tandem. What I'm going to call not just the active everyday lying, but what I'm going to call like the data cleansing and manipulation, the information manipulation. It's like psychological warfare being perpetrated on American people by our own government.
Yeah.
It's like we don't need the current version of the Russian KGB to engage in psyops. We have Donald Trump, MAGA, and all of it. Yeah. I keep saying to people, like, do you want to be the mark in the world's longest long con? Because it's, you know, and like the one thing Americans will always step up and be, I'm no fool. Like, mm-hmm. You cannot fool me. Well, you're being fooled. He's literally engorging himself and his family based on the power that he claims he can unilaterally wield.
And what a just abrupt departure from what, I mean, there were a lot of bad things in the first term, a lot of corruption in the first
term.
But some of these things are pretty unhinged. I mean, on tariffs, I think this is only a few weeks ago now, but the on and off again of the tariffs and him telling people, oh, it's a great time to buy, and people rushing in, you know, to buy stocks before he, you know, pauses some of them. He lifts some of those tariffs. Or his Treasury Secretary, we know, has a ton of money, $150 million
foreign
currency bets. So the person, the treasury, his Treasury Secretary, who,
guy,
I don't know,
the guy running this,
maybe he wants a strong dollar, has open positions for with the euro, with the yen, with how are we supposed to trust that? There is a reason why we set up some of these corruption laws. We're supposed to trust these people at some point.
Well, and of course, firing all the inspectors general, right? Like shutting down the ethics investigation arms of the SEC, the DOJ, like all of it is of a piece.
I would say too.
Yeah, please. Sorry. Go ahead.
But, you know, the scenery of it all, the imagery of it all, right? And then Dubai, and I was looking it up when you were talking about
it. Oh, yes.
You know, Trump does, and how they remade the Oval Office, right? Everything's gold. Everything's
it's
rich.
Trashy Versailles. To, I mean, it's.
But he wants the person in the image, he wants you to feel rich too, right? One of his great lines, oh, we're going to make America rich again. You're going to be rich as hell, like when he's talking to his donors. And that's what he's selling. He's selling this image of wealth, and it is such a flimsy, it is such a house of cards, and it's on our backs.
Yeah, it ain't even gold filigree or gold foil. It's just yellow paint under very bright lights on a chocolate coin. Like, none of this is real. That's why I keep her. It's the world's longest both political and economic con, robbing the American people. We're talking about Medicaid and an existential cut for what? It's not because there's a problem with Medicaid. Social Security overhead, right, is like 1.2%. There's no insurance company on the planet that has an overhead of 1.2%. It's efficient, right? Yeah. Does that mean
they actually hate how efficient it is?
Yes, they hate how efficient it is. It's not about any of this. It's about getting people to look over there while the federal government, via Donald Trump and his minions, stick their hands in working people's pockets. Why all of this? To fund $1 trillion tax cuts for the guy that is soon to be the world's first trillionaire.
Only because it's exactly on point with what you were just saying. They love talking about work requirements, right? SNAP, Medicaid, whatever, or work requirements. They're paperwork requirements. All that it's doing is giving a bunch of money to consultants. No, you know, whatever. People, there are good reasons to have a business hire a consultant. Is there a good reason for the federal government to spend millions and millions of dollars to create new paperwork requirements so that when you lose your job, you might also lose your health insurance? It's literally redirecting money from taking care of people to bureaucracy, to privately run bureaucracy where people can also make more money.
Privately run bureaucracy. You know what tough on crime got us? The private prison system. It didn't make us any safer, right? Like, you know, what are you talking about? When we look at these programs that help save American lives, there's no justification for it. It is all performative to trade on the worst impulses of Americans, right? To metastasize fear into racism, xenophobia, homophobia, and misogyny, and then to say, these are the only true Americans. It is the literal playbook of fascists the world over through the entirety of American history. And yet people seem to a certain degree beguiled. This is why I always come back to, like, you know, do people have to actually personally feel the pain to have the motivation to remove the horse blinders, right? Does it have to be proximate or personal to motivate epic size change? Speaking of epic size change, I just want to share with you, Joe, happy May Day to everyone. Yes. The protest in downtown Chicago, massive, some 50,000 plus people, as Joe and I started when we came back this half hour. Today is the largest May Day protest in the history of the United States.
Right.
Take heart, my friends. The movement continues, and so does this fine program after these next brief messages. Thanks, Joe. I can't wait to do this again.
Talk again soon.
Final thoughts when we return right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie Dawn. Join me, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. It's not Crossfire with Jack Jamon. It's the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you don't know that, like, old Saturday Night Live reference, just look that one up. The last issue of today, not issue number one or two, but the last issue of today has been Donald Trump's epic, historic, out in public corruption. It's indisputable how bad this is. And today, it got worse, as if that was even possible. This is reporting from the New York Times. Eric Trump stood on a stage today with a guy by the name of Zach Witkoff, who is the son of the guy that's been doing the majority of negotiating on behalf of the United States. Instead of Marco Rubio, because Marco Rubio is busy doing three or four other jobs. Zach Witkoff and Eric Trump are partners and founders in a company called World Liberty Financial. I love how innocuous that sounds. Please go check out the website, because you can't make this up. World Liberty Financial is basically going to help finance, instead of a bank, an enormous deal between a fund backed by a foreign government, specifically the United Arab Emirates, and Binance, the largest cryptocurrency in the world. Now, if Binance might ring a faint bell for you, that may be because in 2023, Binance has been under investigation by the U.S. government for violating federal money laundering laws. So, yeah, big shocker, crypto used to launder money. So that's Binance. Mr. Witkoff said this today from the stage in Dubai. We thank MGX and Binance for their trust in us. This is pretty extraordinary. This deal will net the Trump family hundreds of millions of dollars. It is a per se violation of the Emoluments Clause, which prohibits foreign governments from giving gifts or money to federal officials, you know, like the president and his family. But that's exactly what this is. So too, of course, the meme coin named for Melania and Donald Trump. Those are just money grabs as well. Since World Liberty's founding, it has sold $550 million worth of a new cryptocurrency. These are called stable coins. And some of the investors, aside from this particular deal with the United Arab Emirates and Binance, some of the other investors who have bought this stablecoin are also foreign nationals and foreign governments, including people who made huge donations to Donald Trump's inaugural fund. Are you catching a theme here? This is insane how corrupt it is. One of the earliest investors in World Liberty was a guy by the name of Justin Sun. He's a Chinese guy who runs the crypto platform Tron. Would it surprise you to know that before Trump's inauguration, the Securities and Exchange Commission was investigating Tron cryptocurrency? And he had been accused of manipulating the currency, effectively committing fraud. But after Trump was inaugurated, he asked the judge overseeing that case to pause it while settlement negotiations went on. Would that surprise you? Now, I wanted to share with you just a wee little bit from the fine print on the World Liberty Financial website. It says this. WLF Holdco LLC, stay with me here, holds all of the rights to net protocol revenues. It's part one. Part two also says that this weirdly named LLC is entitled to receive fees from World Liberty Financial pursuant to a service agreement equal to 75% of token sale proceeds. Okay. And last but not least, we know that Donald J. Trump and the Trump family owns $22.5 billion in the World Liberty Financial tokens themselves. So those are three lines of profit, shall I say, graft and corruption, by which Donald Trump is lining his pockets because he is president of the United States in violation of our Constitution. He and his family get all of the transactional costs, like every time you do a deal with this stable coin that they just made up out of nowhere. Every time they do a deal, you know, for like $2 billion with the United Arab Emirates, there are transaction fees. They pocket all of that. And they're going to get 75% of any of the profits from the sales or the transactions, the buying and selling of the coins themselves. So if it goes up in value, they're going to get that value as well. Lastly, they themselves own $22.5 billion in the coins. In the stable coin. So there are three different ways that Donald Trump is enriching himself from complete fraud and corruption out loud and proud from a stage in Dubai because no one pay attention to the man behind the curtain. He is the wizard of fraud and graft and cruelty and corruption. His name is Donald Trump. That's going to do it for me today. Don't worry, I'll be back tomorrow. Got a little Ask Maggie, and thank goodness we're going to have Terry Barr with us. She'll be on the road, but calling in for what's good, local, and overlooked in the state of Wisconsin. Pete Schwabe, Nightlight, coming up next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together against Donald Trump's corruption.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.